This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Digital Age. And a very pleasant good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Sports Talk on WKAR AM 870 here in East Lansing. I am not Earl Robinson. You may have noticed from the voice. Even though other people say, Dave, you and Earl sound exactly alike, I know that discerning listeners can tell the difference. This is Dave Ackerley filling in for the inimitable Earl Robinson, my good friend, and who's taken some pre-holiday R&R today. I'm happy to be at the bottom of his phone call list to come in and guest host. Someone has to be at the bottom. Everyone else said no. I said yes, and it's a good day to be here. Happy that you're joining us. Welcome your phone calls, as always. We've got 53 and a half minutes to roll here, and we're going to do so today because there's a lot to talk about in the world of sports. There's a lot going on in the world today, of course, a lot of things outside of sports, but we will concentrate today on what's happening in the diversionary and recreational activities that occupy our minds. 355-9527. It's 355-WKAR. That's the number to dial if you're local here in the Lansing, East Lansing area. Or if you're outside of our locale, you can dial toll-free at 877-952-7870. If you like to use... By the way, don't try this on a BlackBerry. I tried this on a BlackBerry before. You will dial gobbledygook, okay, because the numbers and the letters don't add up. But if you're not dialing on a BlackBerry, you got a regular phone, regular cell phone, go ahead and dial 877-WKAR 870. You can always email us as well. We check those at sportstalk@wkar.org. Again, I'm Dave Ackerley here, former news anchor at Channel 6, former sports director, before that, sports reporter, a lot of formers. Currently, state of Michigan employee, your tax dollars at work, or actually on lunch hour, lunch break right now. So this is on my free time today, and hopefully we'll have fun talking sports here for the next few minutes. It's a big day for MSU and or Duke and or, well, we at Stanford, Florida, I think BYU. Aaron's on the other side of the glass. Aaron, of course, producing. Have I enumerated the five schools that are in the Jabari Parker lottery sweepstakes for 4 o'clock our time today?
Sounds like it. Sounds like you got it right.
Is there anybody else? Any last-minute entries into the...
I don't think so. I think that's about it.
Do you really think, Aaron, do you really think that... He said last night, I've made up my mind and all five schools are still in. Do you believe that?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, the dad says it's down to Michigan State and Duke.
I don't know. I don't buy it.
All right. Well, if you... Look, everybody's interested in this day. If you're a Spartan fan, the most interested Spartan, of course, today is Tom Izzo. And he's devoted a lot of time into this recruit. It's a big recruit for Michigan State. Is it, like some have said, will determine the future of the program? I don't know about that. I think Tom has an exceptional, and despite what he says, elite program that holds its own with anybody in the country. He's built that here, and if he doesn't win this recruiting battle, he will be disappointed, and the fans will be disappointed. But I think it's not the end of the world. Clearly not looking at the young talent on that team that's playing right now, that's coming and gelling together. But we can talk about that. Dial the phone, 355-9527. We'll have a couple of very interesting guests. And, of course, Jabari Parker will be at the top of the list. Earl Robinson, as I mentioned, off on a little bit of R&R. And I'm going to mention something later about Earl that I think he doesn't get enough credit for. And I know that this is the last year for Earl and the Sports Talk Show. That's already been... announced, and Earl sometime next spring, summer, will call it a career here at WKAR, and it may be, I don't get many chances to do this, both with, the way the scheduling goes, and my schedule, and so if I don't remember today, because we get into the subject at hand, I just want to say that it's been a pleasure over all these years when I've got a chance to fill in, but also just listening to Earl on the show, and the intelligent topics that have been covered here over low these many years with Earl. And before just Earl and Jim Adams, I definitely had time with both of them hosting here as well. It's been a pleasure, and we will miss Earl Robinson. But at any rate, we're going to be talking Jabari Parker here. And Mike Helfka is on the line with us now. Mike is the prep writer here for the Chicago Tribune and does a lot of things. Mike, I see, on some of these bylines 24/7, and That's the way prep recruiting and prep coverage is now, isn't it? You know, it'd be really good if I pushed the button here.
There we go.
Mike, I got
about somebody else breaking it.
Hey, Mike. Okay, they're very good. I'm sorry here. We missed part of what you said, but your coverage of this really has been going nonstop for a while now. How long has the recruiting buzz in the Chicagoland area been going on Jabari Parker? When did you first get wind of him?
Well, I mean, among the people that, you know, the real tight-knit basketball community people, it started before high school. I mean, I think Illinois offered him in eighth grade. And coming into his freshman year, there was all sorts of hype, not only about him, but about this Tommy Hamilton, about, you know, about five kids in that class. And just to show you how ridiculous it usually is, four of the five did not turn out to be big deals.
And that's the vagary of recruiting, isn't it? I mean, you put so much time and effort. And I think of you guys, you know, I think of people here in the Spartan area like Jim Comperoni. I mean, this is the living. It's covering the team, but really it's covering this recruiting that's going on with football and basketball, and it's nonstop. And that's it feeds on itself, but is at some point, and you're not going to bite the hand that feeds you here, but at some point, do you ever sit back and go, maybe it gets a little over the top?
Well, absolutely, it's over the top, and it's really internet driven. I think if you talk to college coaches, I don't think they really enjoy kind of the paradigm shift that's taken place. But they, in order to keep up with everybody else, you have to start early because the internet is publicizing these guys at such young ages, and there's all sorts of rankings, and there's this. And if you see a kid who's in eighth grade and he's 6'2" and he's got an absolutely complete game, you're going to have to offer him at that point because you know the other guy is.
Well, and knowing when a kid is special, and I mean, you know, really special at a young age, that isn't necessarily new. You're right, the internet talk about it is over the last decade or so, especially now, the different paywall places that you can go. And then, but you go back, I mean, when Irvin Johnson came out, people knew at a young age he was something special. When Marcus Taylor came out of Waverly and ended up going to Michigan State, and I was here as a sports director in TV, I mean, you know, Marcus was on the radar screen at an extremely young age. It's the endless coverage of that has really changed. And so now that you're a part of it and you've got all of this coming down to this, you know, deadline today, which is just an announcement. It's not like letter of intent day. That's still to come sometime in April? Is that right?
Yes.
Signing
April.
Day, right.
Smart, so you know, even the announcement that he was going to make the announcement was big news.
Right. So what are you thinking right now? I mean, you've covered this kid. You've seen him play. You know his talents. But I think more than that, by this point, you know something about the young man. What's your impression?
I think he really is going to go to the place that gives him the best chance to win next year, because I think he's smart enough to know that you look your best when you're winning.
So,
and that's why, you know, I handicapped it in today's Tribune, and I gave Duke and Michigan State both 40% chances, because I mean, both, you look at both rosters with him next year, and they're clearly national championship contenders.
But as we enter the noon hour, okay, and so that part is gone, but everything changes, and again, the internet publishing, you know, you know, there's no such thing as, well, there's just our print edition now. So is anybody at 41%, 39% now? Are you still having pretty much dead even in your mind?
Yeah, I think maybe Florida might have a better chance than I gave them credit for. I did an informal poll of his teammates yesterday, and believe me, they know nothing. But three of them said Florida, which was tied with I don't know, you know, for the highest choice. So a lot of people, you know, Joe Hendrickson, who does an absolutely great job for our competitor covering recruiting, he was in sometimes polled about 30 local media people, and he was one of only two say Florida, but the fact that he's saying Florida, because he's a guy who knows, he scares me a little bit.
Much has been made about his Mormon faith. He's very reverent. He's religious. His family is religious. I know it means a lot to him, and it has, and that probably won't change. But does that give BYU anything more than just a hello chance, or is it really not a factor?
I mean, nobody seems to think they're a factor, but the thing about Jabari, and he's different than every other kid I've ever covered in several ways, he is not talking to people. He's not talking to his dad. He's not talking to his coach. I mean, there might be something going on in his head. You know, going into the season, he was hurt, and he was ruled out. About a week before the opening game, he was ruled out. There was no talk at all of him playing. and he surprised everybody and came in. He shouldn't have played, but he came and he surprised everybody and he played. So he likes to do that, is my point. And that's the only reason it wouldn't shock me, but otherwise it would.
But it really is coming down to he's making his decision. It's his decision.
I don't think there's any question. You know, his father, you know, I'm sure you know your listeners probably know Sonny Parker was an NBA player.
Right, sure.
And he's very involved in the development of players at the youth level here in Chicago. And you would think, okay, this is a guy, and his mother is a very strong-willed person. You would think that they are, if not navigating the decision, at least right there in his ear. But they didn't want him to play in that opening game, and he played anyway. So that really leads me to believe this is his decision, and his decision alone.
Mike, I got a chance a couple years ago to meet friends of Jabari's, the Dolan's family, okay? And through a college roommate of mine and got a chance to meet his Corey, who, and I believe they played AAU basketball together. They played, I don't think at the same high school, they played AAU, obviously.
When they were younger, they did.
Right, yeah, when they were younger, they're very tight, made some trips. And Corey just, I mean, I've never heard somebody talk just as glowingly about another, teammate as he did about Jabari Parker, who honestly at that time I wasn't really thinking much about Jabari Parker, and yet he really painted a picture of this young man as being really, aside from basketball, a very unique and somewhat a special guy.
I mean, there's no question. You know, sometimes we almost become immune to people who talk about how blessed they are and who talk about religion. But in Jabari's case, he does it because that's really what he means. I mean, he absolutely treats everybody with complete respect. I mean, he really doesn't like this media attention. But, you know, we've been at every practice this year, either myself or another reporter, Colleen Kane. And he, you know, he takes time every day to talk to us. You never hear a crossword out of his mouth. You know, this whole thing's getting to him, but he doesn't let people show it. He doesn't, you know, he wants to be positive. He wants people to think of him that way.
Well, Mike, it's going to be an interesting afternoon here. Tell us about the setup for this press conference. Is there any elaborate thing going on in your mind? Is it going to be like a folding chair, a couple folding chairs, a table, and there's going to be a hat put on the head? That's the norm. Right. What are you expecting?
They call it the mini decision on a radio station here, kind of take off LeBron James thing. But what they're going to do is they're going to set up a stage on the court, and behind them they're going to fill the stands. And Simeon's got a cool gym, and they're going to fill the stands, and there's like a balcony that hangs over the stands with students. So it's going to look really good on TV.
So no matter what the total number is in there, the way that shot's going to look like, they're staging it quite well, is what you're telling me.
And you know what? And they are staging it quite well, but they don't even have to do any production tricks because it's going to be packed in there.
You know how, but before we let you go, you know how Chicago's been just an incredible treasure trove of talent. Not always talent that stays close to home, and I know that hits with some fans there, but when you look at a Jabari Parker, who else, let's say a Michigan State goes and gets him today, who else follows along? See, I always wonder what comes in the wake of that, and everybody says, well, you could be one and double, but what do you see as the residual for whoever gets him?
Well, it means Jahlil Okafor from Whitney Young, who is considered right now the top junior in the country, are very good friends. And Jahlil is a similar kid to Jabari.
Yeah.
Not religious like Jabari, but very respectful, very humble, very articulate. You know, they're similar kids. And Coach Izzo is all over him, as well as Cliff Alexander, another center, who's one of the top, you know, 10 players, juniors in the country. So, I mean, we've seen Coach Izzo an awful lot in Chicago in the last couple of years.
He does make the rounds, does he not? Mike, thanks so much. Give us again, just for people, an idea of what's coming. Go to Chicago Tribune. They can see things there. I know there's a paywall thing. Is there anywhere else where people can see your work? Because you cover a lot of prep stuff, and it's good stuff there in Chicagoland. So where can they go to see it?
You know what? They keep me so busy, I'm not able to work for anybody else. But not everything is pay. I mean, it's really kind of piece by piece. But before you let me go, let me ask you, you know, what you guys are hearing out there.
Well, you know what? I mean, right now, everybody is just waiting on pins and needles. And the fans, they all think he's coming to MSU. But I think that they've done a pretty good job in terms of, from what I understand, and we're going to visit in a little bit here with Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV. He and I used to work together, and Jeremy's all over this too. And I think they've done a pretty good job out there of keeping it. There's so many leaks when it comes to recruiting, but this time it seems from this end of it that outside of the fans who just say naturally he's coming here, but they don't have anything to base it on, that they've done a very good job of keeping this. The young man has done a good job of sticking to his word and saying, when I make up my mind, we're making the announcement, and there we go. And yeah, we're not leaking it out.
Not, you know what, yesterday I was told that the decision was made yesterday.
Okay.
I did get that much. I didn't even report it because I didn't want to betray the person who told me. The person who told me knew, but he's a close friend of the family. He wasn't going to tell me anything. He was just laughing at me as I'm trying to get it out of him. And he told me, I'm just concerned, in our business, just concerned because we have a direct competitor out here. So I'm just concerned they're going to get it, you know. So that's right. The only, that's why I got to
share. No, I understand. So this is crazy time.
I don't think anybody's getting it.
No, but when you found that out, that the decision had been made, did you know, Mike? Did you ask or were you told? Has the coach, has the institution been informed, or are they going to find out maybe either right before or at the announcement? Have they been informed?
Well, he said no, and we did talk about this because this guy's also become somewhat of a friend, and I just told him, look, if you guys are this serious about keeping this tight, you better not tell the coaches until after the decision. So I think that's probably what they're going
to
do.
Well, it's a great day for you there. You got a lot to talk about, and people are going to be hanging on everything from this. So we wish you well, Mike. We thank you for joining us here and letting the listeners get a little insight of what's going on in Chicagoland. And you know what? Have fun with it. It's the bottom line is this is not this isn't the Mayan thing tomorrow. I mean, this is a kid deciding where he's going to go. Someone's going to be happy. Someone's not going to be happy. But ultimately, he seems like a great kid. If he comes to state, fans here will love it. If he doesn't, there are some pretty good schools on his list. So it's not like it doesn't look like he's making a bad decision from a bad group of schools, right?
He can't go wrong.
He can't go wrong. All right. Thank you, Mike, very much from the Chicago Tribune. We appreciate you being with us.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. We're going to take a break right now and come back. We got callers waiting to chat here. I'm certain about Jabari Parker. If not, I'll be surprised, but you never know. So we'll take a quick break. Back with more here on AM 870 WKAR Sports Talk.
The list of current national security threats might include terrorist cells, embassy attacks, and cyber espionage. Looking ahead to the year 2030, the U.S. intelligence community warns that climate change will drive conflict, migration, and instability, and the growth of the middle class will step up competition for resources. I'm Neil Conan, Emerging Security Threats, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that was Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock, 2 p.m., right here on AM 870.
This is Scott Pohl. Today, rain with a chance of thunderstorms, windy, and a high of 42. A winter weather advisory from 1 a.m. to 7 p.m. Friday. Tonight, rain and some light drizzle, then an inch or less of new snow and a low of 31. Windy Friday with an inch or less of blowing snow and a high of 36.
Dave Ackerley filling in for Earl Robinson today. It's 1:23. On a very weather-wise bleak day, but will the sun shine for MSU and Spartan fans at 4 o'clock today? Just when the sun is officially going down, it's one of the shortest days of the year. I'm thinking, if it's not today, is it today or tomorrow? It's like the shortest day of the year. Aaron, do you have any idea?
Not sure. Let me look that up quick.
Okay, you don't have to do that, but I mean, if you have a moment, the internet's handy, go ahead. At any rate, the weather outside, I just drove over here. It's windy, it's cold, it's just, it's brutal. And we might have some snow coming our way at some point, but it's December in Michigan, so we'll deal with it. And again, as I said, the outlook may change this afternoon and become very bright and very sunny for MSU if a certain young man decides he's coming to play on the banks of the Red Cedar River. We're going to go out here to the phone lines now. And Mr. Tate, a question about recruiting. What's on your mind today, my friend?
First of all, thank you so much for taking my call. I think you're doing an excellent job taking over for Mr. Earl Robinson.
Not taking over, filling in.
Okay, taking over for the day.
Okay, fair enough.
I will say that, as far as I heard you talk about the weather, I'm here all the way down in Atlanta. I'm a pretty fairly consistent caller. Not much difference in the weather there, but as far as Jabari Parker goes, I don't know all about not supposed to let it leak here and there, whatever the case may be. My sources tell me, of course, I'm going to keep them undisclosed, but my sources are close to the family has told me that he's definitely going to be picking Michigan State today. There's not a doubt in my mind that he will be playing on the banks of the Red Cedar. So,
no doubt. Wait a minute. There's no doubt in your mind at all. I mean, he still is a 17-year-old young man.
He not could. A doubt.
Okay.
I'll put it to you like this.
Go ahead.
I say that there's not a doubt in my mind from the sources that I've received them from. Never has
that was a qualification, Mr. Tate. You just qualified, and I don't blame you for doing it, but you did just walk back just the slightest little bit from not a doubt in my mind to not a doubt in my mind from the sources that I've spoken with. But okay. I get that.
I say that because of the fact that my sources have never let me down until they give me a reason. It's almost like Floyd Mayweather. Until they can show me a reason that I think he's going to lose, then I'm going to run.
I got
with
you.
It,
no,
you know?
I hear you. And by you know what? Amen to you. If you've got sources that have never let you down, you are living a charmed life, my friend. Because
absolutely.
In my past career, I had some sources who let me down, and I probably let them down
absolutely.
At times too.
Well, you know what? I do some sports talk radio stuff here in Atlanta. And, you know, I've got sources coming, very, very limited sources, but where they come from, they never let me down. So I do some stuff somewhere in the same field that you are, but I would definitely say that I'm pretty excited about it. Of course, I have to hear it come out of his mouth and have to see him put the hat on
his
head.
That's true. That's right.
As far as I heard you discussing with the other gentleman prior, as far as what that may come as far as other recruits and things of that nature, I will definitely say that I heard some talk about Mr. Whitney, Mr. Whitney. I heard some talks about Jahlil Okafor, another one of the Chicago guys. So
mm-hmm.
Alexander as well. So I'm pretty excited about what it could potentially bring for Michigan State, and I'm just in awe overall. But I do want to say you heard it here first. You heard it here first, Dave, man. Hey,
all right, Mr. Tate from Atlanta, who is talking Spartans and his sources, who he will not divulge. Of course he's not going to divulge. I mean,
absolutely.
They're not going to be your sources anymore. All right, tell me this, though. On a scale of 1 to 10, where your number one source is like a guy who knows a guy whose brother-in-law, last year's friend,
Absolutely not.
And this one is like, at the number 10 is like the source, I mean, it's almost biblical in reference. It's so strong. How would you grade your source here?
On a 1 to 10?
Yeah.
Because my source has never let me down.
I'm
going with the 10. I got to go with the dying.
A perfect 10.
I'm going with a perfect 10.
You're calling. So you
never, ever let me down.
You're saying it's a mortal lock. Okay, well, we're going to mark you down. And if it doesn't turn out that way, there may be some discussion on the radio, okay?
Oh, no, there will be some discussion. And we're going to host our Jabari Parker segment on my show later this evening from 6:30 to 7. But definitely I want to say thank you for taking my call first and foremost. And I think that you're doing a wonderful job filling in for Mr. Earl.
Thank you. And thank you for qualifying it there, because that is exactly what I'm doing today. But I appreciate your call. Good call. And we will see if it's the right call. Later today, we will find out. We will learn, and we will, it'll all come true one way or the other for one of these five schools at 4 o'clock. I wish I had a better insight myself. I don't obviously have Mr. Tate's sources here that he won't reveal. And as to where mine are, I can only tell you that that they're not, they're like, well, they think it. The people I've talked to have said they think it's going to be between the schools that have been mentioned at the very top, MSU and Duke, and that the other ones are in the mix, but they aren't really in the mix. I don't know if that's accurate or not. I really don't. And again, if the kid picks MSU, I think it's a great pick, because I think he's going to do great things under Tom Izzo. He may not stay here very long. Maybe he's going to be a one and done. Maybe he's going to be another kid like Rose. I don't know. If he goes to Duke, who's to say that's a bad choice? I mean, really, historically, you're going to say a Spartan fan, even a hardcore Spartan fan, you're going to say that's a bad pick. I don't know how you possibly could. I really don't. Stanford, he's a good grades kid. His friend who I mentioned before, Corey Dolan's another honors student and honors accounting student. These guys they're great basketball players. Jabari is an elite. Corey's a walk-on over there, but they played together. They're really great friends, and they're also super academic kids. So, I mean, again, I don't know how he could possibly go wrong. But we'll find out from the young man himself. And by the way, Aaron checked. This is the shortest day of the year. So wouldn't it figure that we get the shortest day of the year right before the calendar recycles and goes over with this whole Mayan thing tomorrow? By the way, if the Mayan thing comes true, you know what I'm talking about. But if it comes true, I don't think anybody's going to care about this recruiting talk, which bothers me a little bit. I mean, we've maybe been wasting some time if that's all true, but I don't really think it is. So there's two deadlines to discuss here, 4 o'clock today and like 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. At 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, normally it would be my alarm going off. The alarm is telling me it's the end of the world tomorrow. It's going to be, you know, it's not going to be the kind of day I was anticipating. Jeremy Sampson joining us now live. Jeremy, let's be honest. Jeremy was the one who was supposed to host the show today, but he's otherwise disposed. No, I mean, I'm just saying, I was so far down Earl's list. I mean, you know, his list with me, like, crawled under a duck, Jeremy. I mean, that's how low to the ground I was.
But you're still on the list, and that's what's important.
Well, I'm still on the list, but I think I'm about to fall off, and probably after this show I will. And that's, you know, that's fine. Like, the other guy, the last guy just said I was taking over. I'm filling in. But, I mean, in a sense, I got the mic here, and this is non-commercial public radio, so in a sense, I'm taking over, but only for, like, another 28 minutes. Jeremy, just to give folks the background, everything that Jeremy is now in his career, he owes to me, because I discovered him at a very young age, and he was a protege. Actually, I discovered him the same way Columbus discovered. I mean, eventually the ship's got to run into something, right? We know that. So, hey, look what I discovered. Well, guess what, Columbus? It was already here. So he was.
I still carry around the nickname Junior, and that
Junior.
Won't
that's
go
right.
Away.
No, it won't go away. But Jeremy and I worked together over at the Big Six when it was the Big Six, and Jeremy, of course, now sports anchor and extraordinaire at WILX, former competitor station in town, and been all over this Jabari story. I don't know if you had a chance to hear Mike Helf got there from the Chicago Tribune, who's been covering the Simeon Tech, Simeon Vocational, 24/7. I mean, he's been at every practice.
Yeah,
for this guy.
I did actually. He was great. He was really good. Had a lot of good insight.
But he's not, you know, he's like 40%. Even he's hedging the bets here. What say you?
I say that anybody who thinks that they know what Jabari Parker is going to do at 4 o'clock is mistaken. I mean, the one
you just
thing
threw down. That's a throwdown of Mr. Tate.
Well, I respect his sources.
Of course.
I respect his opinion. But nobody knows. I mean, again, you know, you heard it from the writer in Chicago. He hasn't clued his parents in. And
right.
And there's a reason for that. And he is so different than so many recruits that we see in this day and age. You know, most kids are so me, that uh-huh. They can't wait to tell their buddy and their girlfriend and their friends where they're going. You know,
right.
That's the saddest thing for them. They can't wait to say, look, guess where I'm going. This kid is completely different. He doesn't want that, at least not now.
And he is, from what I hear, and again, you know, I mentioned in the story talking with Mike, and you know this because we talked about this a while ago. I want to say more than a couple of years ago about the story with Corey Dolenz, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know Jabari Parker from Adam other than like any other fan. I'm not like the guy going to the practice, so I don't know him. But I always find it unique when someone who is clearly and demonstrably very close to an athlete, a public figure, and they are friends, and they talk about what it means to be that person's friend and not about the basketball. That struck me. Don't you think, Jeremy, that's rather unique in this day and age?
And that's, you know, you hear a lot about Jabari, the basketball player, and if you read the Sports Illustrated article, which I know you did and a lot of people
sure.
around here did because he was getting recruited by Michigan
right.
State, the majority of that article was not about Jabari, the player. It was about Jabari, the person, his fate, what he does in the community, his academics and the things that he does and the kind of person that he is. He's a different kind of recruit. He is one of those guys that you talk about. He's an exceptional player, but he's a better person. And again, I don't know him, but
yeah, me neither.
Everything that you read about him says the same thing. Okay, he's a great basketball talent, but as a person, he's 10 times better. And
so you've covered, okay, all so many of the recruiting ups and downs with MSU over more than 15 years now, and you know the background with a lot of them. And you got to admit, I mean, I'm not just talking about MSU, but I'm talking about the way the recruiting cycle goes. You've seen the good, the bad, and let's be honest, you've seen the ugly.
No doubt.
It's nice to hear, and I'm not being Pollyanna here, but it's somewhat refreshing to hear about a young person who doesn't seem to buy into the the, like you said, the whole me thing. That's why I say if he doesn't pick MSU, okay, this program is going to survive and do just fine. And I kind of wish him well. I mean, it just seems to me like whatever way he goes, that he's given this the proper thought. He's got a good foundation and background, and he'll make the right decision for him. And if it's here, great. And if it's not, you got to wish him well.
Yeah, there, I mean, there's no doubt. And we actually had the fortune of talking to Tom Izzo about an hour ago. They had some availability right after their practice. And
scoop us in on this.
Well,
he can't talk about the kid, but...
He can't talk about the kid, but he was asked about half a dozen questions about it. And as you know, savvy as Tom is, he gave us enough without giving us, you know, without breaking any NCAA
understood
rules.
Yes.
You so know, he can talk in generalities, which is what he did. You know, he was asked where he's going to be at 4:30, and he's actually, you know, going to Flint this afternoon to be with Mateen Cleaves, who's got some family issues going on. And, you know, Tom said that that kid has done so much for me, and this is a time of need for him, and I'm going to be there for him. Now, he expects to be back, he thinks, by 4 o'clock. But, you know, that's how he's going to spend the rest of his day. You know, he's not just sitting in his office, you know, pacing, going, you know, when is my phone going to ring? He's going up to be with the team. And I think, you know, you talk about Jabari being a different person. If Jabari wants to come to a place where, and this was no more evident than last weekend, that is about family. And there is, going back to Gus and with Judd carrying on, and with Tom, the Spartan basketball family. It was evident last week. And if Jabari wants to come to a place where, you know, as Mateen told me yesterday or last weekend, blood in, blood out. You know, once a Spartan, always a Spartan. If that is important to him, then this is a place where he'd want to come. If that's not important to him, you know, maybe it's going to be Duke. But, you know, Tom said our program will go on.
Sure.
One way or another. And he's right. He's built such a solid program that it will. Would it help the program? Would it make them a Final Four contender next year?
No question.
If they retain most of the roster from this year?
No question.
No doubt.
No question.
No question. No doubt. So in that respect, it's a big decision. But the program's going to be in very good hands no matter what Jabari Parker says today.
I have to agree with you. That's very well put. I mean that, and you've been around because again the recruiting wars. You know from whence you're coming here. By the way, anybody wants to call in right now, feel free to do so. 355-9527, 355-WKAR, toll free 877-952-7870. Jeremy Sampson joining us to give us the local perspective on this. You remember the whole recruiting deal with Marcus Taylor? Which was different, yeah, so do I. But it was different because he was in town. And so the microscope was that much closer. How would you compare this to that? I mean, that was a big deal and probably one of the biggest deals in the last 20 years. I mean, in terms of the years that that recruiting story it lasted and existed, how would you compare this one to that one?
That was a big deal to us here locally because it was a local kid. It didn't have the national, you know, going to broadcast it live on ESPNU. I don't know if ESPNU existed back then. I don't think it did. But, I mean, that Marcus's was big to us because it was a Lansing kid deciding whether or not Michigan State was going to be the place for him. Jabari Parker is more of a national recruit and a kid that is looked at as by most prognosticators as somebody who's going to be one and done. Now, if you talk to a lot of people close to him, they say, I don't know if he's going to be one and done. And that's, again, the kind of, talking about the kind of person he is. But it, just different in the two recruitments because Marcus was hyper-local but not national. This one with Jabari Parker, much more national.
I agree with you on that. The only thing I would say is about Marcus and the people who came in with him is that we said this could be another situation where a freshman comes right back and leads them possibly to a Final Four, and that is indeed what happened. And it could very well happen here, but you're right, a different recruiting dynamic. And things have changed even in what Mike was talking about with the internet since the time of Marcus Taylor's recruitment. I mean, it is 24/7 frenzy over
and
this.
And Marcus was tied into Zach Randolph. That was the other thing.
Exactly.
And they were pretty much a package deal. At no time has Jabari Parker hitched his star to anybody, whether it be in Chicago or anywhere else, and said, okay, hey, you and I need to go to the same school together. He's his own guy. And, you know, there's no two for one here. We're going to get three guys that want to go to the same school. I guess there's some pretty good juniors in Chicago, and, you know, the top two juniors there want to go play with each other. Jabari doesn't need that. You know, he's his own guy, and he's going to go where he's most comfortable.
I want to ask before we let you go, and this is good insight. Appreciate you coming on. Since you didn't actually host the show today, but you know, can you tell me a little bit about what was the mindset of, and I guess the buzz and the vibe with football players and coaches over there with the bowl game, you know, the Buffalo BW3's bowl, media day, because, you know, the vibe out there in the football world beyond MSU has been kind of, hasn't been real, let's just say it hasn't been existent at all. So what are they talking about? Are they excited over there? Did it sound real to you? What'd you get?
They are excited. I mean, I think a lot of that kind of ho-hum buzz that you're talking about has to do with the way, you know, the season turned out
sure.
to be, you know, 6-6. And so that kind of tempers the buzz quite a bit. You know, there were a lot of questions today about sauces, you know, hot, mild, Asian barbecue. I'm just kidding there. Not really. But, you know, the players are excited to go. They're also excited to go home and spend some time with their family. And that's what today was kind of the last practice before they get ready to go. And they're going to get the chance to go home for a couple of days, spend some time with their family. The coaches talked a lot about, you know, TCU and the spread offense and dealing with a mobile quarterback and the fact that their offense, you know, resembles Northwestern, possibly a little Nebraska, if you wanted to compare it to a Big Ten team that Michigan State has played already. You know, it's a quick team. It's a defense that's got some really good defensive linemen and is, I think, going to be a really good test for Michigan State, and I think rightfully so. You know, the Spartans are going in as underdogs.
Don't you think, though, that this is – yeah, they may be underdogs, but when you look at the other matchups – of the Big Ten, and some people are saying this could be a real debacle year for the Big Ten and Bulls, and I can see that with some of these bowl matchups. That State's matchup, this is a chance for the Big Ten to have one of their better, to me, opportunities for a bowl victory.
It is. I still like TCU in this game. I mean, I go back to that game that they played with Kansas State, and, you know, Kansas State was arguably one of the top five teams in the country, you know, for the better part of the second half of the year. I mean, they just showed they could play with anybody. And TCU was right in there with that game that they played with them, except they turned the ball over. And you can't turn the ball over against a good team and expect to win, and that's why they didn't win that game. But, you know, I tend to look at the games that they played against better competition, and that Kansas State game really kind of pops out to me as a game that they played really well, had a chance to win it if they didn't have all the turnovers. So, I'm kind of with a lot of those people who think the Big Ten's really going to struggle in bowl games. And I think it has been a down year for the Big Ten. You know, clearly Ohio State was the best team in the league. You know, it hurts that, you know, they were on probation and couldn't go to a bowl game. They could be playing for the national championship, which would have raised the level of how people looked at the conference. But they can't do that, so...
We'll never know, and we'll never know what they were playing in a game, how they would have played in a game that really... counted against something. You know what I mean? They were kind of in that position all season of, well, we're not going to go to Indianapolis. We're not going to go to play in this, you know, we'll just go out there and see what happens.
I mean, there's no doubt.
Right.
And I have, you know, like some of my colleagues that are lucky enough to have votes in the Associated Press poll, we have a decision to make if Notre Dame gets beat. As, you know, is Ohio State worthy of being a national champion? They're certainly not going to be the BCS champion, but could it be a split national championship where they get enough votes in the AP to split the award? So
is that a serious consideration right now?
For me, I think it is. Yeah, it is a serious consideration for me. Yeah, I mean, you know, Alabama lost a game. I mean, for me, it really hinges on that game and. You know, if Alabama goes out there and they just blow out Notre Dame, then, you know, there's really not much of a decision. But if Alabama goes out, they win the game, but they don't play particularly well, I think there's a decision there that has to be made. When you're looking at a team that did not, the only team that did not lose a game, now granted, they didn't get a chance to play in the conference championship game or a bowl game, but a team that went undefeated during the year.
I'm going to bet right now that you don't put Ohio State at number one, but I...
No matter what happens with Ohio State, or no matter what happens with Notre Dame?
I don't know. I just, you know, I tell you what, folks, Jeremy likes the emails, though, and he likes the tweets and all that, and I guarantee you, there will be one other school that piles on you like you've never seen in your life. But, you know, that comes with the territory when you have a vote, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, absolutely. And
absolutely.
Trust me, it wouldn't be the first time that happened, or last year.
When I voted for the Heisman, I'm the guy that, you know, didn't vote for Peyton Manning. You should have seen how that turned out for me. I mean, in terms of...
Exactly.
Okay, you know, it's going to come down the road.
Right.
So I appreciate you. Before we let you go, Jabari Parker picks who?
I'm going to say Duke. It's nothing more than a guess. It's been the buzz that's kind of been going around more so than Michigan State.
It's a guess, but it's an educated guess, so respect
that. That's my guess. If you want me to guess, that's it. Tomorrow I can sit in the hot seat and boast about
how
I was right, or tell everybody about how I was wrong.
Yeah, we'll leave you a bottle of water here. And tonight you'll have all of that on ILX on News 10, along with, I'm guessing, other stuff regarding... we got the MSU women playing tonight, right? So,
we got the MSU women. We've got stuff from football again, talking about the Buffalo Wild Wings.
The bowl game, the media day. Yeah. So your guys' menu is set at BW3's, right?
There is no doubt.
Spicy Buffalo sauce. I vote spicy.
Hot. I'm a hot guy.
Yeah, okay. I've been on road trips with you. I might debate that a little bit, but okay. That sounds fine, Junior. Thank you very much. Jeremy, thanks for joining us. And you'll be in here tomorrow to fill in, not take over for Earl, right?
Yes. Keep the seat warm for me, Ack. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Will do. Very much. Thank you. That's Jeremy Sampson from WILX TV 10 joining us here. Look, we've got time for a phone call. If you want to weigh in on this, where do you think Jabari Parker is going to go? I mean, we've heard the guy from the Chicago paper going 40%, 40%. So clearly, he feels like it's still up in the air, and that the kid has done a very good job, the young man of, I say kid, but, you know, he's a young man at 17, of holding this very close to the vest. More power to him. Jeremy says he's sensing Duke. That has been the trend of most of the so-called analysts around the country that I've seen in scanning some of the online reports, and I'm not going to even make a my prediction wouldn't be based on anything other than, you know, shooting the dart. So I'm going to say it's between, obviously, MSU and Duke, and I'm not going to go out on a limb either way because I have nothing to base it on, and if I don't, then I don't. Not even really a gut feeling. But Spartan fans certainly hope they get him here, and we'll see how that all pans out. We talked a little bit about MSU football there. It was media day. Jeremy gave you some of the color on that. I will note that the Pistons played last night, and Aaron, they lost again. This wasn't a bad, I mean, they played pretty well. They were in the game right on through, but I mean, they blow up a career high from Greg Monroe, who lights it for 35 points out there, and then he had 10 boards. But I can't help, that's not the performance of the game that struck me last night with the Pistons. What did was the former Spartan out there, Alan Anderson. I mean, look at Alan Anderson, who, you know, starts off in the NBA with the Bobcats, I believe, and then he has this huge amount of, he's 30 years old. Alan goes to, he's a kid out of, as I recall, out of Minneapolis, St. Paul, a good player, excellent guy here back in the day, but, I mean, 10 years ago. And then he has this bounce around. He's playing in Israel. He's playing in, he played with a team, I think it was called... Vidi Vici Bologna, which means I came, I saw, I conquered. That's like Latin from Caesar. I mean, that's a basketball team. So he's doing all this, and he ends up back in the NBA. And last night, he's got 16 points off the bench. He's been coming off the bench for the Toronto Raptors, and he has 12 in the fourth quarter. You know, sorry against the Pistons, but more power to Alan Anderson. Talk about a kid out there who is, he's a 30-year-old kid to me. But look, he's hanging in there. And I always say, you know, you do it until somebody says you don't get to do it anymore. There's a former Spartan who played NFL football back in the early to mid-90s, and I will not say his name, but you might figure it out. He played a couple years with a team down the road, and then he kind of walked away. It didn't work out. He walked away. And he showed up at a party. He showed up at a party at Channel 6. It was a client party. So now he's working at some investment type thing. And I said, what are you doing here? And he goes, oh, I'm kind of getting my new career started now that football's over. I go, so your agent, so guys dialed around, everybody said no? No, not really. I just didn't, you know, it didn't work out here. And I just thought, you know, why get the rejection? Just, and then I said, I was standing there with Andy Provenzano, weather guy from Channel 10, though. He's at 6 at the time. And I said, what are you doing here? You go until somebody tells you, you can't play anymore. You're done. You're a young guy. You're in your early 20s. Why? Everybody would want to be in your position. My goodness. Really? Then he goes back and plays in the NFL. Yeah, I don't say he'd take my advice, but maybe, I'm sure other people are telling him the same thing. Like, you just walked away? You really? Are you really done? And he played another 5 years in the NFL. And until they told him, you're done. I mean, Alan Anderson's out there, and until they tell him he's done, he's going to give it a go. And he was doing it against the Pistons last night. And again, we say more power to them as they get the win. Pistons fall. They're 7-21, and they're 2-something away from home. It's not a pretty pick. The teams in the Eastern Conference that are not good this year are, in terms of the early record before we hit the end of the calendar year, folks, are really, really not very good. I mean, it's bad. And then when you know the whole world is, maybe this Mayan thing is right, because I'm watching SportsCenter and the whole thing with the Clippers. I mean, that tells me the Mayan thing, Aaron, the Mayan thing could be right if the Clippers have won like 11 in a row, don't you think?
Yeah,
doesn't that tell you that the world as we know it is over?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't.
And Memphis? And Golden State's winning?
Yeah.
I mean, what?
I don't know.
It's
the world's coming to an end.
It's got to be. It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. I mean, it's the Clippers are on this incredible run. If the playoffs were today, the Lakers wouldn't even be close to making it. It's a different world that we're living in. I mentioned earlier in the show my good friend Earl Robinson, and I wanted to say something here that we haven't ever talked about before when I've filled in, and I don't think Earl has said it, but this is the give the Earl Meister credit award moment of the show before we close things down today. I want to make sure I do it. Earl and I have played in the same fantasy football league for like 16, 17 years now. And Earl Robinson, to all of his loyal listeners, this week is playing for the championship of this league. And this league, I won't tick off the other names, but you would know most of them. They've been involved in some capacity or other in the media here locally, Detroit area, and many still are. Earl's team, Aaron, came out of the draft this year. We left draft night and told Earl, Earl, you just had the worst draft in the history of fantasy football, next to maybe those auto drafts on ESPN done by bots. I mean, it was so bad that we were wondering if it was actually Earl there or if he had sent a stand-in, and this was like a pod person who had assumed Earl's, you know, physical countenance just for one night of stinking at fantasy draft. And yet, he has cobbled together the season and made it to the championship game, which tells you one thing. Fantasy football is all about dumb luck. Absolute dumb luck. No, I'm just kidding. Earl's done a great job, and I wish him the best of luck in the championship game where he's going against former Channel 10 sportscaster and Channel 6 sportscaster Eric Hess, now of the Detroit area. Eric has a very good team. Earl has a somewhat not as good team on paper, and yet he finds a way to win. And so we've never talked about that here. Earl, ladies and gentlemen, has another ability that I don't know. You may have heard it on his show from time to time, but I'm going to let you in a little secret. Earl can trash talk when it comes to fantasy football, and fantasy baseball back then, but fantasy football mainly, like nobody on planet Earth. And to his ever-loving credit, he can also take the barbs for his team and absorb them with a laugh like nobody I've ever met. I mean, mainly Earl wants to have a laugh over this stuff because that's why they call it fantasy. it's not the real thing, and nobody is getting hurt in the process. But his team is going for a championship this week. It would be his second in, I want to say, 17 years. So I hope that when he comes back from a nice deserved break here, that Earl, and he probably won't bring it because, you know, it's just not, I don't even know, he's probably not supposed to talk about it. But you know what? I can talk about it because I'm not him, and, you know, it's, I'm just filling in, not taking over. I'm just filling in. But his fantasy team has had a heck of a season thanks to a tight end named Rob Gronkowski and a quarterback, Matt Ryan, from the Atlanta Falcons. And if Gronkowski can come back, he actually might win a title. And Gronkowski practiced yesterday. So Earl has a shot. Earl Robinson has a shot. And God love him. We wish him the best. We're getting close to wrapping things up here today. If you want to give a call in, go ahead. Do so quickly. We'll get you on the air. You move to the top of the list because there is no list right now. 355-9527, 355-WKAR. Got about 2-3 minutes to go. We mentioned the women's basketball. MSU won against Oregon State last night, and I saw the highlights from this. And I'm telling you, out there, I don't understand. I will never get some of the preseason neutral court tournaments in women's basketball. I mean, I know that they're out there, but in the guys' tournament sometimes can have really lousy attendance. But there was really almost nobody in this arena last night in Las Vegas. And you know what, Susie Merchant's team now at 10-1. I think the final score last night was 49-35 over Oregon State. So it was a defensive struggle, but they deserve, you know, more people watching them play than that. And tonight maybe it will happen. I believe that Texas Tech, I don't have it in front of me, Aaron nod or say no if I'm wrong. I think Texas Tech is the opponent for the Spartans tonight in the South. I think it's at the South Casino there on the, you know, the south end of the strip up the hill a little bit. And they're playing at 5:30 our time. That's 2:30 out in Las Vegas. And so we wish her well. They're 10-1. It's a great start for MSU. They're other than the loss to Dayton, I mean, they've been flying high. So Susie Merchant has her team going very well. They'll have a much tougher test tonight against the team from Texas, from what I understand, record-wise, and they're on a bit of a roll, too. So we'll find out some more about these ladies of MSU tonight when they take on Texas Tech out in Las Vegas and try to go to 11-1. Just an incredibly good start for MSU, for basketball all the way around. It's an exciting time, and today we're going to find out again. Jabari Parker, is it MSU? Is it Duke? They're the two in the running at the top, seemingly. But the young man hasn't said that. That comes from other people. Or will it be Florida? Will it be BYU? Could Stanford, the Cardinal, have a shot? 4 o'clock today, we will find out. Spartan fans, cross your fingers. If he's coming here, you're going to get not only a great player, but from everything I've heard, a very, very fine young man and an exemplary character to have on Tom Izzo's team. If he goes somewhere else, then we will do what we do in East Lansing, the classy thing, and wish him well and hope to have a chance to take him on sometime in the future with the guys who are here with MSU. Either way, the Spartan program is going to be just fine. So we're winding things down. Aaron, how much time do we have left here? Because I don't have any idea.
Well, you're about to hear the music kick in, so
okay.
There we go.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk on WKAR AM 870 in East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.